When the medical specialty of gynecology began in the 1870s, knowledge of the female reproductive system was limited. There were few options for women suffering from menstrual cramps, menopause, or problems related to childbearing. At the time, a patent medicine company began selling a potion that promised to cure women of female weaknesses. With aggressive advertising, Lydia E. Pinkham's vegetable compound became a common product in the medicine cabinets of American women. Jennifer Schmidt of member station WBUR reports the company's ads document changing attitudes toward women's health.
In 1875, Lydia Estes Pinkham, a 56-year-old housewife from Lynn, Massachusetts, was struggling to keep her family together. Her husband spent his days slumped in a rocking chair by the fire, a broken man after losing the family fortune. Occasionally, Lydia brought in a little extra cash by selling her home-brewed herbal medicine to the neighborhood ladies. Her sons convinced her to put it on the market. From the start, their new company advertised heavily, first in the newspapers and later on the radio.
Women in your 40s, are you getting lots of fun and happiness out of life? If this functional middle age period peculiar to women is making you feel irritable, nervous, high-strung, weak, and tired, try Lydia Pinkham's vegetable compound to relieve such symptoms. Lydia Pinkham's compound has been helping.
Sales of the compound rose steadily, but the family decided they needed a gimmick to make it stand out. They settled on a photograph of Lydia Pinkham. Alisa Engelman is writing her doctoral dissertation on Pinkham, who she says had a mature, serene quality that inspired confidence.
She looks like a very prim Victorian grandmother. Her hair is caught up in a bun, and she's wearing a high collar.
From then on, company advertisements always included a picture of Lydia Pinkham. It became the company symbol, like Ronald McDonald or Colonel Sanders today.
Most historians recognize that Lydia Pinkham was the first female entrepreneur to use her own face to sell a product. Her picture was on trolley cards, it was on posters, it was on trade cards that you got from the druggist. So everywhere you looked, it seemed like you were being haunted by Lydia Pinkham.
The trademark face and an astute national advertising campaign were keys to the company's phenomenal success. Sarah Stage is the author of Female Complaints, a book about Lydia Pinkham. She says the company had another thing going for it, an exclusive market.
It wasn't a man selling a woman's medicine, it was a woman selling a woman's medicine, and there weren't any others.
Lydia Pinkham brings good health to you.
In the late 1800s, many women were also desperate for an alternative to the doctor. Physicians still didn't understand the physiology of the reproductive system and were giving women hysterectomies to stop fainting spells. Boston College School of Nursing professor Joellen Hawkins says even basic gynecological exams were subject to strict rules to protect a woman's virtue.
Gynecologic exams were done with the woman fully clothed and standing, and the examiner reaching up under her skirts. So, you know, they weren't getting any help as far as good diagnosis.
Lydia Pinkham proclaimed herself the savior of her sex. Pinkham became and remained a household name, even long after she'd passed on.
I remember the name of the kindly old lady whose name soon became revered through.
But in 1905, the Ladies' Home Journal charged the Pinkham Company with fraud for sending out handwritten letters to thousands of women signed personally by Lydia Pinkham. Pinkham had been dead for more than two decades. Then the Food and Drug Administration ordered the company to cut the alcohol in the vegetable compound from nearly 20% to 13%. The company complied, but had trouble shaking the rumor that the tonic was a good substitute for a stiff drink. In fact, sales peaked during Prohibition. But Alisa Engelman says she has a hard time believing women took the product to get drunk.
The medicine tasted foul, according to all accounts.
But by the mid-1920s, there had been major advances in women's health care, and women were balancing newfound freedoms with age-old pressures. National advertisers were appealing to women's desire to get married.
This is when halitosis becomes a big problem.
Engelman says the company used it to launch a new campaign.
advertisers start saying, you know, why aren't you married yet? Maybe it's because your breath smells or you have underarm odor. And Pinkham is playing right into that. Why aren't you married? Well, maybe you don't have pep. How do you get pep? You drink Lydia Pinkham's medicine.
Ladies, interested in happiness and continued good health, freedom from pain, want to feel full of pep, want to relax those high-strung nerves? Of course you do.
Women also swore that the product helped them get pregnant. A new slogan developed that there was a baby in every bottle of Lydia Pinkham's. But by the mid-1950s, despite heavy advertising, sales slowed to a trickle.
Lydia Pinkham became a joke. She seemed tired and outdated and old-fashioned to women who were resorting to hormone shots in the 1950s. The idea of drinking a bunch of herbs and alcohol seemed silly and superstitious.
In the 1960s, the Pinkham family sold the patent to a New Jersey drug manufacturer. Newmark Labs still makes Lydia E. Pinkham's vegetable compound, although the ingredients have changed. Newmark says most people who use it have heard about it through word of mouth. The company no longer advertises the product. For NPR News, I'm Jennifer Schmidt in Boston.